I have the privilege of introducing our preacher for today. Mike Chin is a friend of ours. He has been a part of our church for a very long time, he and his family. And he is a part of the preaching team. And as we continue in our sermon series, The Hospitality of Jesus, he is going to lead us into a sermon. And so I just wanted to take this moment to give a special invitation as he preaches and to let you know that after we experience this song of worship, that the next voice you hear will be that of our brother, Mike Chin.
Amen. And as we continue in worship, we do so singing a song that is sung around the world in different countries. By millions, maybe billions of people that declares and asks our God for mercy and for peace.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. And Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
God is real, isn't it? Holy Spirit is actively working in our lives. And even at this very moment, Abby, thank you so much for your word and leading us into prayer, people. It struck me very deeply because my mother suffered a stroke last weekend, and I'm about after the service in the afternoon, I'm about to fly out to see her. And she's in a rehab facility, unable to walk, unable to stand. So it's going to be a long road ahead, but knowing that God's Spirit is with us and bring about healing. So anyway, I didn't prepare for this one, but maybe go to the next slide. We'll start from now. The pain started when we first moved back to the Bay Area from Boston in 2015. The combination of stress, long commutes, and lack of sleep, no exercise, And simply just getting older took a toll on my body. And I kept putting it off, thinking that it would just go away. But it didn't. It got really bad. It got worse. So finally, in January 2022, with Brittany's encouragement, and let's be honest, with her insistence, I went to the doctor, and a lot of pain in the butt. Literally. My doctor took one look and immediately scheduled surgery to get rid of my hemorrhoid. That's right. I was about to get a butt surgery to get rid of the pain in my butt. So, man, it was embarrassing. And now I have always felt uncomfortable in hospital just in general. I get squeamish. I even fainted once when I was getting my blood drawn as a grown man. It's really bad. That's why, you know, my grandmother's dream of me becoming a doctor just vanished. So even though the doctor reassured me that it was a routine procedure, I was still filled with anxiety. But something happened in that hospital really changed my perspective and experience. First, on the day of the surgery, the intake nurse greeted me with a warm smile. He asked me personal questions, trying to make connections, keeping the conversation going as he took my vitals. He saw my anxiety and did everything he could to put me at ease. That was really great. And then another nurse came to hook me up to tubes and probes and monitors. She must have sensed my unease because she distracted me with affirmation. "You're doing great." I'm like, I'm just like there. How great can I do? You know? I noticed how thoughtful she was, even with the little things like closing the curtain at just the right moment when I needed privacy. And then next came the anesthesiologist. She greeted me warmly and explained the process of putting me to sleep and giving me options and explain and try to answer my questions. And the thought of being put under is just incredibly scary because it's like all of a sudden you're just gone. It's like, what? Will I be able to wake up? But her calm demeanor really reassured me and calm me down. And then finally, the doctor arrived, and he's seen me before several times. And what surprised me was that he actually remembered some of the conversations, like personal conversations that we had. And so that really put me at ease. And he really kind of made the point of just connecting in that small, in those small ways. And a few minutes later, I was asleep. And when I woke up, I have a brand new butt. No, just kidding. The surgery was done, and I was ready to go home. But more than the medical outcome, like I walked away with a deeper understanding of what it means to create a safe space for someone in their most vulnerable moments. My nurses and anesthesiologists and a doctor had one clinical goal, which is to remove my pain. But what I experienced from them was something much greater. In an aggregate, care, sympathy, and human connections. In a time of total vulnerability, I felt safe. I felt safe. And so this brings us to today's scripture in Mark chapter 2, 12, 13 to 17. And Wes already read it for us, and I'm going to just remind us again and read it again for us. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd gathered just like this to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Levi got up, surprisingly, right, and followed him. And then while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who follow him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, "Hey, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Right. On hearing this, Jesus said to him, "Well, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner." Now, at first glance, this passage, it's a curious passage that might seem an odd example of hospitality. I'll tell you why I think about this when I read this and I'm thinking about hospitality. Well, Jesus was not a host. Levi was. Jesus did not cook the food. Jesus did not set up chairs. I don't think he even fund the dinner. And yet, Jesus redefined what it means to welcome others. And we'll go to the next slide, right? The redefining hospitality. At the heart of this passage is one powerful statement. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Jesus was not just attending a dinner. He was creating a space for healing. So for many of us, we hear the word hospitality, we immediately think about hosting a dinner party, an event, a gathering of some sort. We think about logistics, planning a menu, setting up the table, creating a perfect experience for our guests. And for some, the idea is exciting. Right, but for many others, it's incredibly overwhelming. We worry that we're not extroverted enough to carry a conversation, not charismatic enough to keep the energy going. Right, we hesitate because we're already stretched thin. Right, barely keeping up with the friendships that we already have. How could we possibly make room for new ones? How can we do that? That's just like, wow. We tell ourselves that we don't have much in common for certain people, and that it will be awkward. That someone else could be better suited to play the role of host. Someone else will do it. I'm sure, a church this big, probably some of them will do it, pick it up, not my job. So we let the idea go. We leave hospitality to those natural hosts, and focus on what we are good at instead. But today, I want to challenge that way of thinking. What if hospitality isn't about hosting at all? What if, instead of thinking about hospitality as an event, we saw it as an approach to human connections? It's just an approach. We'll go to the next slide. As hospitality as a space for healing. Jesus' words in Mark 2 connect the idea of a shared meal to the work of a doctor healing the sick. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Now, the word, the English word, hospitality, share the same root as hospital. Both came from the Latin word, which I'm not going to butcher the pronunciation here. I have it written down here, trust me. So I have it. I did my research, but I can't say it. but it means friendliness to guests. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. But it's curious that this word is connected to hospital. You don't often think about hospital as a place of hospitality. In Greek, the word used in scripture for hospitality was shown in several places, Romans 12:13, Hebrews 13:2. I mean, if you're taking notes, you can take it down. Or 1 Peter 4:9 is this word, philoxenia. Sorry, again, butchering the pronunciation. But literally the two parts, one is, you know, the love for strangers, love for strangers. So in other words, taking all this together, hospitality isn't about entertaining guests per se or throwing a perfect dinner party. It is about safe, vulnerable, and healing space for others. In this passage, Jesus demonstrated this kind of hospitality at Levi's dinner. He created a space for tax collector, the sinners, those rejected by the society, and that where they could experience acceptance, redemptions, and belonging. Now, it is also important to note that we don't know, we just don't know, you know, we weren't there. We don't know if Jesus developed deep relationships with every person at that table. I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, Jesus in spirit, absolutely, he could. But Jesus, the human form there, in a short time that he was walking on earth, I don't know if he was able to actually develop deep relationship with every single person at that table, right? So maybe that wasn't the point, right? Maybe this passage isn't about long-term relationships. It is about the moment of connection. A moment where somebody or someone who felt excluded was suddenly felt welcome. A moment where a safe space made healing possible. Right? My hospital experience was a modern reflection of this. Right? The people who care for me didn't need to build deep relations with me. I can imagine, hey, doctors, how's your butt? I don't know. Right, their job wasn't to be my lifelong friends, right? But in that moment, in that space, they provided what I needed: safety, comfort, and healing. Hospitals are not meant to be homes. They are places of rest, restoration, and healing. They exist to help people recover so they can move forward. That, too, is hospitality. Let's go to the next slide. Hospitality doesn't have to be elaborate. Sometimes it is as simple as a warm, welcoming place. For the past 2 years, Brittany has been hosting what we lovingly call a porch party. We live across the street from Albany Middle School, and every day for the 10 to 20 minutes after school is dismissed, she sets out snacks and drinks at the front of our porch. She never miss a day. And the days when she has to juggle with pickups and stuff like that, and I happen to be walking up from home, she's like, Mike, you're on duty. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh, middle schoolers. Right? And parents from the neighborhood know they can stop by. No invitation required. It is not a big event. There's no guest list, no formal agenda, just a space to pause, to connect, and to feel safe. Over time, it's grown. Now, 3 to 4 parents and around, I guess, 10 middle schoolers will stop by consistently. Oh my gosh, 10 middle schoolers. I only had to deal with one at home. Now, and before the kids take a snack, they had to answer Brittany's question of the day. Like, what superhero power you want to have, or highlight from their weekend. Now, Brittany isn't trying to form deep relationship with these middle schoolers. She doesn't know all their stories, struggles, or home lives, but they know that she is there, and she is approachable. She's a safe place. And for some of these kids, that might just be enough. That is of hospitality. Not perfection, not performance, not an extravagant feast, but simply creating a space where people can stop, rest, and know they belong. I'm going to go to the next point. These are all very, I hope that you will find these are the practical points about hospitality. Hospitality as community effort. Now, hospitality is not a solo act, because if it's a solo act, then you miss the point. It's really not about you. It is a community effort. Now, take my experience at the hospital, right? It took a team of professionals to take care of me and to ensure a successful surgery. The medical goal was simple, remove my pain. But how I experienced the entire process from check-in to post-op depended on the combined effort of every person I encountered. Each interaction, whether big or small, in aggregate, contributed to my overall sense of well-being, safety, and comfort. The same principles applies in my home, in our home. When Brittany and I host dinner or gatherings, we play different roles. We play different roles. Using a restaurant terminology, she is gifted in front of the house. Right. So welcoming guests, making conversations, ensuring everyone feels at ease. I, on the other hand, I thrive in back of the house. cooking and preparing food. Our kids naturally step into their own role. Acadia gravitates toward the introverted kids, making sure that they feel included. Sometimes she will take them into room and special toys as she prepare for them and play with them. This went wonderful. And while Ethan, and the extrovert, makes his rounds, he actually makes rounds, talks and connecting with every guest. Even though I love cooking, sometimes to a fault, as Jason Lee frequently teased me about over-preparing food, I remind myself that hospitality extends beyond the meal itself. Even in the midst of cooking stress, when a guest step into the kitchen to ask for a cup, a spoon, or simply want to chat, I have a choice. I either brush them off and stay focused on my task, or I can embrace the chaos and the spirit of hospitality. A warm smile, a thoughtful nod, and attentive response. These small moments matter. They contribute to a larger sense of belonging, comfort, reminding me that hospitality is not just about food or logistics, but it is about creating the space where every person feels safe, seen, and truly at home. Let's go to the next one, hospitality mindset and practice. Hospitality is not just an action. I think I want to venture to say it's a mindset, that one that requires consistent practice. Brittany and I had to learn to lean into that. Early in our relationship, we took time to reflect on the people in our lives who had made us feel truly welcome, who had extended hospitality in a way that left lasting impact. We thought of our friends Jenny and Brian, who gave us a key to their house so that whenever we visited the Bay Area from Boston, we could simply walk in, no matter how late our flight arrived. We also remember our friends Mark and Nancy, who not only opened their home to me when I was a young teacher, not making much money, but also welcomed Brittany when we were dating. And to me, and for them to make me feel as like part of their family, they even named their small front yard garden after me. A little unusual, undeserving, yes, but incredibly touching, incredibly touching. Now, these experiences shaped us. They showed us that hospitality is not just having people over, but it is about creating a sense of belonging, a refuge for those in need. Refuge for those in need. So early on, Brittany and I chose to practice hospitality intentionally. We learned to open our home, not just when it was convenient, but when it was needed. No wonder when I first mentioned, almost hesitantly, the idea of inviting one of my students, a young man who has lost his housing, to live with us, Brittany did not hesitate. I'll tell you, she was a hero in that story. She did not hesitate. She insisted that we had to do it. And that has resulted in a lasting relationship with Tevin. I believe it was a practice of hospitality that prepared us for that moment. Hospitality is a muscle. It strengthens when used. And the more we practice, the more naturally it becomes part of who we are. So let me conclude. This is a call to radical hospitality. We return to the dinner scene with Jesus and the Levi. The religious leaders were scandalized. Why would Jesus eat with sinners? But Jesus wasn't concerned about status. He wasn't worried about reputation. He was creating a space of welcome, a space where healing could happen. And here's the truth. Hospitality is not about us. It's about making room for others. It calls us to expand our hearts, to welcome those who are not like us, those who are outsiders. It calls us to open our homes, not just to our closest friends, but to the lonely, the forgotten, the ones longing for connections. It calls us to step beyond our comfort, to create a space where healing, safety, and belonging can flourish. Hospitality is not about perfection. It's about persistence. It is not about being the best host. It is about being available. It is not about impressing others. It is about embracing them. And it requires practice. We do not wake up one day suddenly capable of radical hospitality. It is something we must choose, something we must lean into. As a Greek poet once wrote, we do not rise to the level of our expectation. We fall to the level of our training. Let me read it again. We do not rise to the level of our expectation. We fall to the level of our training. If we want to be people of welcome, we must train for it. We must practice. So, this Lenten season, let us open our hearts, our eyes to those who need a refuge. Let us open our homes to those who need a table. Let us open our hearts to those longing for belonging. Because Jesus welcomes all. And if we follow him, so must we.